I forgot it. Revelation 6:1 says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.' When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed with him, and power was given to him over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" May God bless the reading of His Word. Now we're going to start the sixth chapter tonight, and we're switching over now from being in heaven, and now we're going to start seeing things happening on earth. The fourth and fifth chapter, we've seen that we was before the throne of God, and now chapter six, as I say, we see things are happening on earth. But while we see the things that are happening on earth, don't lose track of chapter 4 and 5. That we are still in heaven. The Christians are in heaven, those that are the church. Those that are saved here tonight, you will be raptured, so you are in heaven during the things that we're fixing to study is going to go on this earth. Praise God. Because y'all just heard how bad part of it's going to be. So praise God, we're going to be in heaven. We won't be here on this earth. We'll be worshiping and praising God. John's on the throne. The Lamb is about to open the scroll. The four living creatures are going to tell the four horsemen to come out, and we're fixing to see the four horsemen. The 24 elders are waiting in anticipation to see the things that are going to happen. The angels have stopped their praising. The 24 elders and the four living creatures have stopped their praising, because now judgment is fixing to start being inflicted upon this earth. And so the judgments are coming to the earth from God. God's bringing judgment on this earth. God brings judgment, but the Lamb opens the seals that we've seen. Remember last week we seen the seven seal scroll. Anybody remember that? Nobody awake? Everybody's asleep? Okay, but we've seen the seven seal scroll, and so tonight we're going to see that the Lamb is the one opening the seventh seal scroll. And so there's two things that we as Christians living in the world today need to hold on to about these four horsemen. Is first off, is they can only come because God allows it. They can only come because God said now is the time. Now is the time, so Jesus opens the seal. And when he opens the seal, the four horsemen comes to this world. And so they only come because God has allowed it. God is the only one that has the power to allow them to come. They don't have power on their own. They have to come when God says they can come. Also, we need to understand the judgments of the four horsemen are to be corrective. It's to correct this world to realize that they need God. And we'll see a lot of the people will not realize that they need God. But for us as the church, we need to understand that we need to be also be corrected so that we can also show people that these judgments are going to come upon the earth. And when these judgments come upon the earth, they don't want to be here. And the only way not to be here unless they die first is to be raptured with the church. So it should be a burden upon us as Christians that if we know lost people and we love them, if we love some people that's lost, we need to not want them to have to go through what we're fixing to study. And if they're here after the rapture of the church, they will go through these things that we're fixing to study. And if you paid attention when we read them, it's some pretty serious stuff fixing to go on in this world in the book of Revelation. All right. Everybody with me? Anybody asleep yet? Snore louder so I can hear you. Oh. All right.
I need to ask one thing.
Okay.
When the people were raptured, before they had the rapture, the people that are lost, do they stay in the ground?
The dead people that's lost?
Yes.
Yeah, they stay in the ground till the great white throne judgment. All right. Am I loud enough for everybody? Okay.
The dead in Christ
rise. Yeah, the dead in Christ rise at the rapture. So the lost are still in Hades, which is hell, but it ain't the same hell of the eternal hell. They haven't gone to the lake of fire yet. They'll go to the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment.
So when the rapture happens, so the people that are left, there's still a bunch of people that don't believe?
Yeah.
Even though all these people just disappear?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Well, it's just like the world today, they're going to tell them all kinds of stuff they want them to hear.
Look at Pharaoh. Look at all the physical miracles. He said his firstborn, every firstborn in Egypt, died that night. And he still hardened his heart and went after Israel. Try to bring them back.
Yeah.
People will just choose in their heart that darkness.
But, I mean, it ain't no different than the people today. What do they do now when they see a miracle? They put it off on something else. Well, this happened, that happened. It wasn't really God. You know, so they're going to make excuses. And see, that also is what brings into power what we're fixing to see. Let's read 1 and 2. That answer your question?
Yeah.
Let's read 1 and 2 right quick. It says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." And so here we see in these two verses here. I'm trying to say if I want to do part that's in my notes and not parts that's in my notes. But first off, we see here it says, "I saw when the Lamb opened." So Jesus Christ is the one. Remember last week we said the seven sealed scroll. And so now Jesus has got the scroll from the Father sitting on the throne. And so now he opens one of the seals. Now, we talked a little bit about how scrolls work. Does everybody remember how scrolls work? They open a seal and they unroll it. You know, that's the old timey books. And then they'll read all that's on that pages. And then they'll finish that section and they'll get to another seal and they'll open that seal and they'll read the next section. And so now Jesus has opened the first seal. And so what do we see in his opening this first seal? It says, "I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder." One of the four living creatures says, "Come and see." But it's in a voice like thunder, because thunder, especially in the book of Revelation, there's a lot of time thunder shows judgment. And judgment's about to happen. And so he's talking with a voice like thunder. And so the four living creatures hollers out, "Come and see." So this is also showing us another thing. It's also showing us that, and some people will disagree with me on this, and you can disagree with me if you want to, and believe it how you want to, because I can't prove you wrong, you can't prove me wrong, probably. But the "come and see" here, I believe, shows us that we, as the church, we as the believers in God that are in heaven will be seeing the things that's going on during the revelation, during the tribulation. I think we'll see, because we see John going back and forth from heaven to earth, to heaven to earth. And so I think we see the things that will be going on because John's going back and forth and shows us these things. And I think we see the things that are going on in heaven because the living creature said, come and see. Come and see what's going on. He's also calling for the horseman, the first horseman to come out. It says in verse 2, and I looked and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him. Who's this sound like? It's a trick question.
Well, you say it sounds like Christ, but right. It's not. It's the Antichrist.
Yeah, yeah. And I see some people that even teach that this is Christ. I don't see it as Christ. I see it as the Antichrist. So we see the Lamb is opening the seal. We see the thunder bringing judgment to come and see. And then we see he opens, or the white horse comes. I looked and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Well, there's some things to see here about this one that is on the white horse. First off, we see this is in my... let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read 1 through 3. Second Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3 says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. What's this verse 3 says? Let no one deceive you, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The falling away comes first here, in my opinion, is talking about the rapture of the church. They have been called away. They are took up to heaven. And so now it's time for what? For the man of sin to be revealed, the son of perdition. The son of perdition here is talking about the Antichrist coming into power in this world. It says he is revealed. It's not meaning that he is revealed as an Antichrist. It's saying he is revealing himself to come into power. And then a little by little by little, during the 7 years, he will be seen as Antichrist. People will see who he really is. He first comes into power. What we've been talking about tonight is exactly leading up to the Antichrist coming into power. What did we say we was looking for? Somebody with the answer. Somebody that can bring a unity to this world. Somebody that can bring a peace to this world. Antichrist is going to do that. He's going to come in with the answer. He's going to say, I know what to do. I can bring peace. And this is going to tickle their ears. They're going to be so glad. Are we not all frustrated? Yeah. So the world is frustrated. And so when the Antichrist comes in and says, I got the answer, and he has the answer for the moment, then it's going to be a great thing to them. They're going to enjoy it. They're going to say, great, we have the one. It says, I looked and behold a white horse, back in verse 2 of 6, he who sat on it had a bow. So he has, he has the bow, which means he has power. He has the artillery needed to fight a fight, but it also don't show any arrows, does it? Says he has a crown was given to him. He didn't come in and win a battle and become the king of this world. He came in through a governmental takeover. He didn't come in militarily and overtake the world and do, like Hitler tried to take over the world and all this. He didn't do it militarily. He came in through the governments, through having the right things to say, through a peaceful way, because he don't have any arrows. He just has a bow. He's got access to the power, to the military power, but he didn't use military power to get into office. He don't have really access to the power till he gets into being the Antichrist and being in charge of the world. This says a crown was given to him. And so this was not a crown that was really earned. And so, as Paul said, a lot of people thinks, or some people thinks this is Jesus, but it's really the Antichrist. It's not Christ. And so we're going to look at a few of the differences here. First off, it says a crown was given to him. In chapter 6, verse 2, the word for crown here is Stephanos. And Stephanos means a crown that one wins in a contest, or somebody gave them a crown. It wasn't an earned crown. It wasn't nothing that they did to win that crown. But then, if we look at Christ, and we want to see the difference in the Antichrist and Christ, the word for crown in chapter 19 that we see on the head of Jesus, on the true Christ, the word for it is diadem. It is a crown of great authority and of a ruler, not one that was just given to him. All right, so this is one of authority that Christ has. The one in verse 6 don't say that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, does it? But over in chapter 19, it proclaims that Jesus Christ is the King of kings with his crown on his head and the Lord of lords. The white horse, as I say, shows us this coming of the Antichrist. The world, as I say, is in so much turmoil, that even in more turmoil after the rapture than they are before the rapture, because they don't know what's going on. What just happened? Graves are emptied. A lot of people's missing. You know, when the rapture happens, you know how bad it's going to be? There's going to be some airplanes that's flying around that had a Christian pilot that went to heaven. So where's the plane go? Anywhere and everywhere. Till it finally crashes. Where's the cars on the highway go that had Christians driving them? All crashing. Tearing up. You know, everything's going to be what happened. And so, it's going to be so much turmoil that the Antichrist is going to come in. And he's going to say, I can bring peace into this world. He has the answer that soothes their ears. Well, you know, we got a lot of preachers we're talking tonight about, you know, the Bible's also been took out of a lot of churches. There's a lot of preachers that act kind of like an Antichrist because they want to tickle your ears. They don't want to tell you what the Word says. We need to hear what the Word says and not just have our ears tickled, because that's what the white horse, or that's what the Antichrist comes in. This is the first seal. It says he went out to conquer, or went out conquering and to conquer. He's going to conquer this world as the Antichrist. But he didn't gain that to get the title of the crown that he's got here, but he does that after he gets the crown of being Antichrist. And so he's going to tell them he is going to bring peace. So this is the first seal. This is the white horse. This is the Antichrist. So what do we see next? The red horse. Verse 3 and 4 says, when he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to him, granted to the one who sat on it, to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. And so what do we see here? This red horse is a symbol of war. And so now war is coming in. This is not going to be wars like we've ever seen in the world before. This is going to be a bloodbath like never has been seen in this world before. It's not going to be as bad as the Battle of Armageddon. But it's going to be bad. And so we see here, not only will country be against country, not only will nation be against nation, not only will kingdom be against nation, but man will be against man. Some people will even be against their own families. Because one member of the family will be for Antichrist. Another member of the family may be against Antichrist. And so they will be at odds with each other. They will be killing each other. What it say? It says he opened the second seal. I heard the second living creature say, come and see again. We're seeing what's going on this earth. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to him who sat on it to take peace from the earth. Don't take long when the Antichrist gets into power, does it? For things to change. From worse to worse. I don't know if that's a word or not. Some of you teachers help me. Is that a word?
From worse to worse. Antichrist is going to be a dictatorial rule. You know, yeah. It's not going to be a people decree in Congress and this and that. It's going to be he's in charge.
Yeah.
It's Once he takes that power, he's not giving it up.
Right, right. And so brother will be against brother, kind of like some of the wars we've seen in history. All right. Also, we see here the sword. What did it say? Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted one to him, the one who sat on it, to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. I want us to look at that for a minute. Because actually, my understanding, I've read a couple different things on this, but my understanding that the word here for sword is the word that is used for dagger in the Greek. So what's this show us? You got to get up close and personal with a dagger. They're not just using the weapons of war that we have. They use the weapons of war. We'll see that later on. But they're not just using the weapons of war. A dagger, the word for dagger that's used here was a knife, a little dagger that they used. And most of the time they used it to slit the throat of a lamb or a goat or some kind of animal that they was going to sacrifice or some kind of animal that they was going to eat. And they used that to slit their throat. But also, it was also the same word that like thieves or murderers would come up behind people and slit people's throats. So this is up close and personal. It's not just the weapons of war. He's bringing a war, but it's also going to be up close and personal to each other. All right? Everybody with us? We need some pillows in here. All right, let's look at 5 and 6. It says, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Went from worser to worsest. Well, it ain't worsest yet, but I like to make up my own words so I can see if y'all awake. It's getting bad to worse. What's it say here? This is the red horse. No, this is the black horse. The third seraphim, the third living creature, has come out and said, come and see, calling this horse for us to watch this horse to come on to the scene. And this horse is the black horse, and this horse brings famine. What happens a lot of time after times of war is times of famine. Huh?
A lot of dead bodies,
a lot of times of famine.
Starvation.
The economy goes haywire, and so everything goes bad. And so this black horse is symbolizing famine. Well, it goes on to say, in verse 6, I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures showing us how bad this famine is. What's it say? A quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So what's it saying here? It's saying a quart of wheat is a measure of wheat. All right, so you got one measure of wheat if you buy the name brand. All right, if you buy the Food Lion brand or the Walmart brand, it says what? You can buy 3 quarts of barley. So if you get the off-brand food, you can buy enough for 3 meals. But if you want to buy the name brand, if you're one of them that has to buy the higher quality stuff, then you're only going to get 1 meal. Well, how often are we going to get that meal? It says, a quart of wheat for a denarius. A denarius is the word for penny, but in John's day, a denarius was showing a day's work. And so for 1 day's work, you can get 1 meal for one person, or you can get 3 meals for one person.
So, and to top it all off, it says, don't harm the oil and the wine, so the ABC stores will still be essential.
Yeah, well, we're fixing to point that out.
And the gas stations.
Fixing to point that out, yeah. It's also showing us that it's like it's always been. The rich can get, and the poor can't. Because we're not hurting the oil or the wine. The oil or the wine here is the oils that we cook with, the oils that they make to run our automobiles, the oils of, you know, every oil that we use. And so we cook with oil, we use oil, they anoint the body with oils. And so all these are not going to be hurt. All the luxuries. And that will be a luxury during this tribulation period. And so the luxuries will not be hurt. And the wine, well, we know we're not going to touch the wine. The wine here is talking about alcoholic beverages. It's not going to touch that, because don't it sound funny to you and funny to me that the barley's hard to get, but we're not going to hurt making the wine.
These are foods for rich people.
Right.
The rich can still buy these things.
Right. The rich can still get, the poor still can't get. So, all right. This is the third seal, and the black horse. And the black horse symbolizes famine. So let's look at the next one. 7 and 8 says, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to him to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. And so now we see the fourth horse coming in, and the fourth living creature, the fourth seraphim, calls out, come and see. And so to come and see again, to see the things that's going on this earth, we see it again, the things that's coming on. And so here we see a pale horse. A pale horse, the word pale here. And I'm hot, I don't know about y'all, so I keep getting dry. So, the word here for pale horse is chloros. We're not, well, kind of like Clorox. Where we get our word for Clorox from. So it's really talking about, to my understanding, a sickly green looking horse. Now the sickly green looking horse comes in. And who's riding on it? Death. So we see who's riding on one of the four horses of the apocalypse. Everybody's heard of the four horses. This is the four horses of the apocalypse that we're looking at. But we see, not only is the fourth horse of the apocalypse coming, but he's got a partner coming in with him. What does it say? And Hades followed with him. This shows us a lot. Because a lot of times when we think of death, you know, we just relate death and Hades as the same thing. Death is talking about this horse, this pale horse is going to come in and he's going to bring physical death to people. And then Hades follows, which shows those that are not gods has experienced spiritual death also. So not only do they die physically, but they die spiritually. Death, the body dies. Hades, the spirit dies and goes to the same place Luane was asking about a while ago. When they die during this tribulation period, they're still going to go to Hades because their soul is not God's. And so they will go to Hades. They back over in Revelation 20:15, they will go to the lake of fire. But right now, they're still going to Hades. And everybody's still up on that. We've talked about that before. Everybody good? All right, and so I wanted to bring out something else too. We see here that one-fourth of the population will be killed during this time.
That's after the rapture.
Right, after the rapture, yeah. One-fourth will be killed during these four horsemen. So let's look at that for a second. No time in history has that amount of people died. I'll get to it in a minute. I got a note on all these four horsemen again that we're going to go over, but I'll get to the numbers of the wars and stuff in a minute. But according to the world census, I looked it up today on my phone because my numbers said 1999. I said, well, that ain't even close enough to update it. According to the 2020 world census, there's 7,794,798,739 people, according to the world census. You know what really picked, what got me was every one of these beginnings had a seven. Mm-hmm. 7 billion, 700 and some million, 700 and some thousand, and 700 and some. What's seven? Complete. Are we getting close to the time for the rapture? I think so. And so this fourth seal brings in the fourth horse and the pale horse, which is death. And so I got a little extra that I wrote today on these four horsemen. I want to read them to you. So we get a better, so we get an understanding of the different of the four horses. The first one is the rider on the white horse. He is the Antichrist. He will be the coming world dictator. He rides into the world. He starts the tribulation period when he starts a peace treaty. He signs a peace treaty with Israel. And that starts the tribulation period. The tribulation, years ago, I would have taught you that the tribulation start period started right at the rapture of the church. But that's wrong. There'll be a little bit of a time span. Don't tell us how long or nothing like that. But a little bit of a time span from the rapture to the tribulation period, because the Antichrist has got to make it known that he has the answer. And so when he has the answer, then they put him in charge of the world. And then when he gets in charge of the world, he signs a peace treaty with Israel. Again, showing you the power that this man will have. Because what is all around Israel? Islamic nations. And if you can make peace between the Islamic nations and Israel, you're doing something. It ain't been accomplished so far, has it? I remember years ago, I still worked at Baker Furniture, so it's been over 13 years ago, for sure. But I remember, that was on the news, somebody had signed a peace treaty with Israel. I got to work the next day, and some of them was all tore. No, there's only 7 more years of time, they've signed a peace treaty with Israel. Well, no, it wasn't the Antichrist that signed the peace treaty with Israel. So he's so much power, so much influence over this world after the rapture, that he is the only one that can get this accomplished. So he gets this accomplished. He is one who comes in. He has a bow with no arrows. So it is a picture of victory gained through peaceful negotiations. He promises peace and prosperity. The world listens to him. They welcome him. They even consider him a savior and a hope for the world. Armies and governments will be united under his leadership for a little while. And then the people of the earth will just, we got the man.
And he's backed by Satan, right? Satan, yeah. What is giving him this power.
Yeah, and we'll see more of him when we get on in. To the description of him when we look at the beasts that come out of the sea and all that. There's two more beasts that we'll be describing later on, the Antichrist and the false prophet. We'll see them a little further when we get on in. So he's bringing peace not only to this world, but especially to the Middle East. Now that's doing something. We know that's doing something. And so, but then after he brings the peace, 3.5 years later, he's going to bring it virtual turmoil again in the world, because he breaks the peace treaty with Israel. And so things will get even worse. But then we see the second horse was the rider on the red horse. The blood red horse is ridden by the one carrying the dagger that brings in war. And so it brings in war, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, man against man. He brings in a time of murders, assassinations, bloodshed, and revolution that will be the worst in history. World War I, this was the number that I was talking about a while ago. World War I ended in 1918. It's estimated 37 million people died during World War I. World War II ended in 1945. It's estimated they couldn't get a real clear picture of the numbers from what I can find. If you can find numbers better, please let me know so I can update my notes. They guesstimated, I say guesstimated, that's another one of Jimmy Hyde's words, 50 to 80 million people died during World War II. Since World War II, it's estimated again that 50 million more have died in wars and stuff that's went on since World War II. And so just imagine the blood that's going to be spilled during the tribulation period, when we've already seen through history this many people has died. But there's going to be more dies during the tribulation period than died in any of these other wars. It'll be so bad. Turn to Matthew 24. Verses 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. We're going to read 21 and 22. It says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, no, nor ever shall be." It's going to be the worst time in history. Then what's he say? "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." In other words, God could have stretched this out longer, but he made an exact time that it would be 7 years. Why? Because his new people could not stand how bad it was going to be unless he shortened it to the 7 years. And so, can you just imagine if God had to shorten it to 7 years, what it would be like on this earth during that time? So, what do we need to do? We need to alert the people that this is coming. That's the whole purpose for us doing this study on Revelation. It's so that we would get a burden on our hearts to lead those to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, so they won't have to go through these things we just talked about. All right? The third horse is the black horse. He brings about famine. Remember, you're going to work hard. Well, we ain't going to work hard. We ain't going to be here. But the people on earth, they're going to do a day's pay for one meal, or a day's work for one meal, unless they go with the barley. And so they'll do three meals for one. And so I wanted to write this down because this just flabbergasted me, and I know it's true. In America, this is famine, remember? So first off, have you ever really been hungry? I don't think so. I don't think there's a person in here that's ever really knew true hunger. How many in here has been without food for days? So you don't know hunger. America throws away enough food every day to feed a family of six for a day in many countries. In one day, we throw away enough food to feed a family of six. Our dogs and cats has a diet higher in protein than most people in the rest of the world. Think about that. Because we buy our cats, we buy them the cat chow. We don't mess with the special kitty. One reason I don't mess with the special kitty is because I only have to feed them half as many times when I feed them the cat chow than I do the special kitty. I have to feed them twice as much because I don't stick with them.
Eric said he's only able to afford to put the hot dog in the cold water and he has to drink the water.
Well, I did learn out through the years, too, if you buy that cat chow and you get a little hungry, you put a little milk on it, it makes gravy. But no, really, we don't know hunger in the United States. There's some people in America that knows hunger, but most of us don't know hunger. So it's going to be so bad. There's about 124 million people in 51 countries that face crisis every day of having something to eat. 124 million people. It's so bad during the tribulation, as we said, you're going to have to work for a day's pay to buy one or three meals. So widespread starvation is going to be inevitable during the tribulation period. Another thing to remember that we'll see when we get on over into Revelation, if some of these people that's living during this time of Revelation and they get saved, First off, they're not going to be able to work a day unless they get the mark of the beast. And secondly, they're not going to be able to buy food because they don't have the mark of the beast. And we'll see all that when we get over to it. And so famine will be widespread during this time, the rider of the black horse. And then we see the rider on the pale horse. And not only just the rider on the pale horse, but we see death coming in on the gray, pale horse. And then we see Hades following him. Spiritual and physical death. They're given power to kill 1/4 of the population of the earth. I'm going to read this. This is how Charles Swindoll, anybody ever heard of Charles Swindoll? This is how he describes this time in Revelation. It says, John saw the grim reaper and the grave digger moving together across the face of the earth. Death slays the body while Hades swallows up the soul. Whew. That's just putting the rubber on the road, as my daddy used to say. It puts the rubber on the road. David Jeremiah, I'm reading, I don't read it every day, but I use it for certain sections that we're studying in Revelation here. He's got a book called The Book of Signs. It was wrote in 2019. Listen to this. This is what David Jeremiah wrote in his Book of Signs. Satan and Antichrist would like nothing better than to have a worldwide plague underway at the beginning of the tribulation to further their argument for a one world government led by a seemingly benevolent, peace-loving dictator. I believe he hit that on the head, didn't he? I believe it's getting close to tribulation. It's getting close to the rapture. And it's time to quit. Did we get further than you thought it would, Greg?
I mean, if you think about it, think about Paul and the apostles who yearned to see this for Christ's kingdom. But in a way, those that are left at the rapture, I think, will be more blessed, or so to speak. You see what I'm saying? Did I get out right?
I didn't get it. Somebody else might have.
You know how Paul and him are, the first church, were assuming that it was right around the corner.
Yeah.
Christ is coming back right around the corner. But to me, as a Christian, to be at the time when the rapture occurs, how much of a blessing that is.
Right.
That's how much.
Yeah, I see. I got you that time. And I might not have heard you right the first time.
Yeah.
Anybody got any questions or anything to add to tonight?
I can't believe, you know me, but I can't believe that the Antichrist is going to be coming from heaven.
No, well.
How do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's just a reference to him coming. He really.
He doesn't say he came from heaven.
Yeah, he doesn't mean he really came from heaven. It's just. He's calling for him from heaven. John, the seraphim, the living creature, is calling, come and see, for us to see. But he's calling for the white horse to come on out, for the Antichrist to come on and get into power. It's time for him to get into power. He's not really coming from heaven. He's actually...
He was in the seal.
Well, he just opened the seal for it to happen. He didn't come from heaven, though. Just like, he's going to come from, in my opinion, and I'm not sure I'm right because I didn't study this, but I think he comes from around the Babylon area, best I can think right at the moment. But.
I think it's Cupid. He ran out of air and no more love.
Did that help you any at all, Louie?
No.
I mean... Well, no, I ain't talking about it. I'm talking about what I said.
Yeah, if you read it, he's called John's in heaven, right? He's seeing this vision. And the angel says, when Christ breaks the seal, he says, come and see. So he's calling John over to see was about to take place on the earth.
On earth, yeah, on earth. The horse is coming from earth. The horses ain't coming from heaven. But he's calling for all the people in heaven to see on earth what's fixing to happen on earth.
And the horses are a symbolism.
Yeah.
You know, John's trying to interpret, like watching color TV back in 89 when he wrote this. So he's trying to get a visual image to put in words what he's seeing of unspeakable things right there.
Yeah, yeah. John's watching the first TV show ever. But you see what we're saying? We're just looking down from heaven and seeing these things happen on earth.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. Any more? Any questions or anything anybody wants to add? I don't want you to leave confused. I want you to go ahead and answer. Well, we got some other people in here to help me answer.
Well, I believe a lot we see, you don't have to strain your eyes to see that you're seeing shadows of all these start to come together. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, that's holding back these forces, holding back all this stuff. And it says when the restrainer is removed, then the man of sin will be revealed. So I believe he can already be here. He can already be setting things up for a global government. And he's going to use probably Corona and everything else to manipulate people his way to say, I've got an answer for all this. I've heard it said, it's been said, not by Christians, that this virus will not go away until we have a vaccine. The vaccine is going to be so required that you can't travel, you can't go to stores or anything until you prove you've taken this vaccine. So that's how it's set in the stage and the mindset.
Yeah. And they also set the stage through the, they don't have any money in the Walmarts and then the food lines and all this. They're getting that, they're lining that right up too for the tribulation period.
Lining up to go to digital money.
Yep. Cashless society will be a part of the tribulation period. So. Anybody else?
And they already have understand big cattle people already have these chip things, these tiny little chip things that they can put in the cattle and they can tell where the cattle are and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
People are having parties there.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are having parties because they think it's a good essence.
Yeah, they're having parties putting them in.
Yeah, they have parties to put them in.
All that technology is already there. People are using it.
I mean, one of the companies that makes the chips that are so small, they just stick them under the skin with a needle.
We're tiny.
They didn't require their employees to have them, but they requested that they get them.
We've already got them.
Yeah.
Hey, we've already got chips. Everybody in here got them home in their pocket.
Yeah, but the chips that you have to have during the tribulation will be in your hand or on your forehead.
In your body.
Yeah, it'll be in your body.
Right now, society is basically being conditioned, slowly conditioned, where it'll be easier, be more acceptable than it was one time ago.
That's exactly right.
Because if you slowly condition someone to something over a long period of time, it's a lot easier for them to accept it.
Right.
If you go from one way, doing things one way, doing things completely for the very next day, they're not going to take it, but if you scare them enough over a long enough period of time, and condition them to it, then they'll be able to breathe through a lot easier.
Yeah.
And you create it like the new normal.
Right. And people won't rebel it as easy. It's kind of like years ago, one of the insurance companies upped our homeowner's insurance by almost twice is what it was. You know what I told them? I went and told them first off to cancel it. But I said, but you would have got away with this if you'd have done $10 here, $10 there, $10 here, $10 there. But when you jumped it all at one time, I'm not going to do that. And so that's the same way like you're talking about. When you get conditioned into thinking that, well, this is going to be okay, then you'll go along with it far easier when it's slowly brought about you than somebody just says you have to have it.
And a lot of people are scared.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I work for Hugh Channel, and unless I have a TB shot,
yeah,
to make sure I don't have TB and a flu shot, I'm not allowed to work.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
that's right.
I mean, if I want to work, I don't have a shot. I have a COVID shot or a vaccine.
Right, right.
And we have to work to be able to live, so.
Exactly, that's right.
And it's getting easier for them to influence the younger generations. As our generations die off, it's getting easier and easier and easier for the younger generations for them to just push, push, push.
Yeah.
This is the, like, the
normal.
Normal.
Yeah.
Yep.
They know the difference.